outlined against a blue gray sky, the horsemen ride again. Yes, Grandland sees the Irish shine, their time has come to win. In the polo grounds the spirits stir, and you feel a shiver when the horsemen herd comes thundering by, and the Irish rise again.
Welcome to another edition of Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. It is game week. It is week one. And it's time to talk a little bit of Notre Dame versus Texas football. Tim Dandy here, excited for this week's show, with none other than the godfather of the new ND Nation, none other than Jason Kripe.
Hey, folks. How's everyone doing tonight? Glad to be here again on another beautiful, it's a very nice night here in the South Bend area, honestly, compared to the last about 3 weeks. So it's a very nice evening here in the South Bend area.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty nice out here in the old Cincinnati area as well. So no guests this week. Steve, unfortunately, out again as we're trying to get the schedule worked out. But I know he plans on being here next week to get ready to discuss the home opener against Nevada. But we're going to go ahead and bring you a quick show here this week where we talk about the Texas game, give our thoughts and give our predictions like we always do. And we'll also give you our predictions on this season, what we see from this team as well. So, Jason, first things first. It is game week. It is long overdue. It's been since January 1st that Notre Dame has played a different opponent in a football game. And that's a day we would obviously like to forget and to get to start on the right foot. It is the rematch of the home-and-home with Texas. We all know last year's game, Notre Dame opens the season up beating them 38-3. Pretty bad. A lot's changed in 365 days. Looking forward to this, what do you think, man? What are you expecting out of this game? How are you feeling today with Thursday, Friday, 4 days ago till game day?
Well, I really think that this is not a game for Notre Dame to overlook. They got to come out, and Brian Kelly in his press conference, I believe yesterday, said that, in a opening game, you've really got to watch everyone and the play calling and see what everyone is doing, and you address the quarterback situation. But Charlie Strong is a great coach, and this is a home game for them. If they pull off a miracle, it would be crazy, but I think they're going to come out swinging. Notre Dame just has to stick to fundamentals. They are, on paper, a much better team than Texas, so it should not be I don't think it'll be a blowout, but it's going to be closer than it was last year, I think, because I think this team has improved.
I definitely think Texas is better. Not better than Notre Dame, but better than what they were last year. We've talked enough the past couple weeks to know that we have the Baylor situation has really helped them out a lot. Getting the kid from LSU has been huge for them. They've been able to stack up on talent. It is Charlie Strong's third year. He has started getting his guys into the program. Trying to recover from what Mack Brown left him with. So, I do think Texas is going to be better. I think that they have they're going to come out and be doing what Notre Dame's doing with a couple quarterbacks going into the game. So that makes things a little interesting as well.
And something else that I'll bring up while we're talking about quarterbacks real quick is that I read an article the other day, and I wish I could quote where it came from because it's actually a pretty good read. I think it was Her Loyal Sons. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong, but they had an article about how now that Brian Kelly's coming out and saying opening game, check that, not home opener, but the first game against Texas, there are a lot of teams that all of a sudden said, yep, we're going to run two quarterbacks in the first game. So the point of their story was that it's the Brian Kelly effect. I just thought it was kind of a funny read. So, anyway.
Yeah, but I don't really feel like anyone else has a situation Notre Dame has as quarterback with two really talented kids. I mean, not that the kids at other schools aren't talented, but you're talking about maybe two of the top 20 talents at quarterback in the country playing for one team. So,
exactly. It's a good problem to have, and actually Notre Dame's probably got three of the top 20 quarterbacks in the country with Brandon Wimbush sitting there back in the wing, so it's a good problem to have, kind of.
What is, did he redshirt this year? I thought they said they were going to have this be his redshirt year since they had to break it last year.
That's what they're saying, but obviously week to week anything can change.
Right.
And that's another thing about the quarterback thing is that Brian Kelly was saying, you know, you kind of have to, even if a quarterback has what everyone calls a hot hand and they're playing really well, he goes, there may be a time where I have to supersede that and go, this quarterback is a better fit in this down and yardage package situation. So, I don't know. He's going gunslinger on this quarterback thing for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different than if you remember when they played LSU in the Music City Bowl. They played Everett and Malik. These are two different talents, obviously, so that makes this a little more interesting there. And, Deshaun, we kind of thought that Malik was like the left-handed version of Everett for a while, and Deshaun obviously being a much bigger and much more talented, not much more talented, that's the wrong word to say, a much more physical, bigger player with a huge arm and, working on his accuracy. So, yeah, that is going to be interesting to see what the snap count is. He hasn't really said anything about who's going to take the first snap, what the snap ratio is going to be. Really made the point to say that he believes Texas's defense could determine what quarterback plays the most in what circumstances.
Yeah, that does make sense. And it's going to be Texas is going to start two quarterbacks as well.
Yeah.
Well, not start, but they're going to play two quarterbacks. So it's kind of, I think it'll be really interesting. And especially on a Sunday night, I had a guy that I call on. He's like, so you ready for football season this week? Or are you ready for Saturday? And I go, why? What's Saturday? He goes, it's the start of college football season. I go, no, actually, Thursday night is, and my college football season doesn't start till Sunday. And he's a Michigan fan, so there you go.
Who are they playing?
I don't know.
I don't know, but they're going to be out there in that Jordan swag. No, App State's playing Tennessee Thursday night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I don't think that it's going to be a repeat of history by any stretch. Tennessee's going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
They got a great coach.
They do, man. Butch Jones. People in Cincinnati love Butch Jones.
Yeah, okay. Let's stop talking about Michigan.
And also Michigan's got that sweet Jordan thing, which makes me really mad that I have to be like, okay, that's cool. You got me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so as we kind of look at this week, one of the interesting things we saw was with the other three guys from the, through the whole scenario of Butler, Redfield, and crew, they got they're facing arrest and suspensions. Brian Kelly has prepared them like they're going to play. He has had them all practice. He has had them take reps. He has had them involved. So those guys have been really kind of getting their reps there. But he said it is not up to him if they play. It is up to the university.
Yeah, it is. And I listened to the presser yesterday, and he said that, somebody flat out asked him and said, well, you kicked Max off, you suspended Devin. Well, why aren't the other few guys off the team? Could you have suspended them if you wanted to? And his answer was, I have never suspended a player for a first offense. So, and it has come out here that the handgun charge is against Redfield, which is a felony. So the other guys didn't get charged with that. So, the university could come out and say, nope, they can't play. But if they were going to do that, Tim, they would have done it by now. So I would expect all three of those guys to play.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that too. And I don't think that's necessarily a winning the football game decision at all. I think that's the university kind of like looking at the evidence, seeing what happened there. Because obviously we don't know what happened in the car.
No.
So that obviously makes things a little more interesting there as well.
Exactly.
Alrighty. So, moving forward here real quick. Didn't they put a new depth chart out yesterday? I saw some people tweeting about that.
You know what? If they did, I didn't see it.
But
I don't think it would change that much from last week. Huh. No, I didn't see one.
Huh. We're well prepared, obviously.
Yeah.
So, now that's, I think right now they're looking at Devin Sutsell and Drew Tranquil might be the true starters at safety for this. That's pretty solid, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Notre Dame's defense is a bit suspect at this point. I mean, I think there's still a lot of people trying to second-guess Brian Van Gorder. But I think maybe now some of what we're hearing may actually, you know, we at first, it's just fans, you know, that's how it goes, give the guy time. And now we're, you know, hearing from media accounts that that defense is good enough, not great. So if they take any more injuries or anything else, that could be a problem.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it right now. So it says, I'm looking at the depth chart. So as we figured, quarterback is Deshaun or Malik. Running back is Josh Adams or Tarian Fulston. The W wide receiver, you're going to see Aquinius St. Brown get a start with Miles Boykin backing him up. The Z wide receiver, or some people know as the slot, you'll see C.J. Sanders with Corey Holmes backing him up. And then the X, you'll see Torrey Hunter Jr. with Kevin Stefferson backing him up. So,
nice.
That tells you one thing there. Tight end play is going to be a little skeptical, obviously, with Alizé Jones being out this year. So, Durham Smythe and Nick Wisher getting their chances there. Starting off its line will be Mike McGlinchey, Quentin Nelson, Sam Mustipher, Colin McGovern, and Alex Bars. Defense, you're looking at Andrew Trumbetti, Jerry Tillery, Jerron Jones, Isaac Rochelle, Niles Morgan, Greer Martini, James Onuwalu. Corner, you're looking at Cole Luke on one end and Sean Crawford on the other. Free safety, you're looking at Avery Sebastian with Devin Sutsell backing up. And strong safety, you're looking at Drew Tranquil with Jalen Elliott backing him up. So,
nice.
Jason, who did you think was going to be the kick returner going into this game?
Oh, Richard, man, I figured that dude was going to be running it back because, yeah, he broke one off for the first time in how long last season?
So it's C.J. Sanders or Dexter Williams.
Oh, C.J. It's got to be C.J.
And then punt return to C.J. Sanders for sure with Chris Finke backing him up. And then Montgomery Van Gorder's going to see some time on the field. He's going to be the holder this year. Yeah, man, that's what the week one depth chart shows. So, a little different than what we saw last week. Not terribly different, but no real jumping out shocks there. Maybe Kevin Stefferson being rated so high as the X wide behind Torrey Hunter Jr., but obviously that can change between now and Sunday. So, when you look at this game and you look at, you know, the talent on our side versus the talent on their side, now I will give Austin. I mean, I'll give Texas the home field advantage, obviously, playing in Austin. That's a great stadium. Their fans, even when they're bad, are there. It's not like Miami when Miami's bad or other places. So I think that that's going to be definitely a thing that Notre Dame's going to fight. But overall, I think that talent-wise, Notre Dame's definitely better than them. I do think that, you know, like I said, I do feel Texas will be a lot better than what we saw last year. Just too much talent that came in from different circumstances. You know, they're really happy about this true freshman quarterback that's coming in, as we've heard from the last 2 weeks when we've done the Know Your Enemy segments. And so I'm leaning towards Notre Dame winning this game. I think that you'll be shocked to say this. I think that the quarterback that wins the game for them, I guess we're going to call quarterback wins like we're baseball pitchers, will be Malik Zaire. I think that Malik's going to be able to, he's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, though I still think Deshaun is going to be the guy. You know, I do think Malik's going to make the plays. I'm really excited to see Torrey Fulston back on the field since we haven't seen him in a year.
Yeah.
I want to see what he brings. Yep. I want to see how Dexter Williams is used behind him and Josh Adams. And obviously guys like Tony Pride, see if they're going to be involved at all. And Sean Crawford, we finally get to see him play, a guy that I'm stoked about, that you're reading a lot of good things about. So I think that, you know, Notre Dame's definitely got the talent to win this game. If I had to put a score on it, I think Texas is going to be able to get a couple touchdowns. It's in their house.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to do their thing. I think Notre Dame will win this game 27-14.
You know what? That was one number off where I was going. What did you go?
27.
24. 27-14?
Yeah.
I'm going 27-13.
Oh, okay.
I think they're going to get a touchdown and a couple field goal attempts, or maybe more, but I don't see them scoring a couple touchdowns against this defense. I think these kids are going to come out fired up. They have to, because there's so much doubt right now with everything going on, and they're going to come out and go, yep, we are the Notre Dame defense that you guys know. So, yeah, I'm just going to go 1 point lower on the Texas side with that prediction.
Awesome. Fair enough. So let's look at the season in general here. Just to reiterate here, this is Down the Line on the TNNDN network. Be sure to check us out weekly on iTunes by searching TNNDN. Let's look at the big thing, you know, the season overall. 12 games here. This is a schedule that is still difficult, but not the schedule we've seen in the past. A lot of big names on there, obviously. Teams like Virginia Tech, who haven't been, you know, what we knew during the Beamer days. Michigan State, still being a very good football team, was a member of the College Football Playoff last year. USC, yep, under Clay Helton in his first full season, really expecting to bounce back and have a big year. Stanford having the best player in the country, according to some people, in Christian McCaffrey. I know that's a battle between him and Deshaun Watson, most cases. Though Jabril Preppers, as much as it pains me to say, is really good in Michigan. When you look at the schedule, and you know overall what you see there, how they match up with every team, who they're playing, where they're playing, because they have a lot of neutral site games this year. What are your feelings when you look at the schedule? Like, if you had to put a win total, when you look at that paper, what would you say?
Oh man, 10-2.
10-2.
10-2, 11-1. If I was to give two, I think Miami can be a scary game.
Mm-hmm. It will be.
That's going to be one where they're going to be up for that one, especially if Notre Dame heads into that game undefeated. Oh yeah, they're going to want to just kill them. And then you got, Stanford's dangerous. USC is at USC, right?
Yeah, it's the last game of the year.
Yep, and that it. If Notre Dame goes into that game 11-0, then USC is going to want to make that stop. So, you know, 10-2, 11-1. I think if they go 11-1 and it's a tight game at a tight game on like an away game type thing, and it's maybe a 1-2, 3-point loss, then I think they could still make the playoffs. But 10-2, they're not going to make it. Not this season.
Yeah, I lean more towards 11-1. I just feel like if it's all on the line, that last week at USC, they won't lose. Brian Kelly has one loss in the Coliseum, and it was a really bad game, but that was a really bad year. His like true, like really awful year he's had here, I guess. So I just don't think that's going to be the case there. I think if I had to pinpoint like the one loss they will have, if I had to pick one, it'd be Stanford. But history shows that Notre Dame wins at home against Stanford, and Stanford wins in Palo Alto. So maybe I'm wrong there, but I think they're an 11-1 team. I think they have enough talent on offense to cover up where their shortcomings are on defense. I think their offensive line is still stout with Harry Hiestand running the show. They're technically what? Five deep in the backfield. You got a lot of playmaking wide receivers. Where I'm concerned with this team offensively is tight end play. If Alize Jones were on the field, I'd be fine. Everything would be cool. Tyler Luatua, what is going on with him now? Like, I know he's back now, right? He's not transferring anymore?
That's what I'm hearing, but from what I understand, it's kind of a fluid thing. It's kind of a one day you hear one thing, the next it's another. I don't know what's going on there. Kind of a very odd situation.
Yeah. So, I think that, you know, there's there. So, I like Durham Smythe and I like Nick Wisher. I just don't think that they're going to be able to keep tight end you up. And they might have to in some games.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, I just feel like that's, you know, the concern there. On the defensive side, more or less, it's how do you replace all the guys you lost? How do you replace Jalen? How do you replace Joe Schmidt? How do you replace Sheldon Day? How do you replace Kevari Russell? And I've talked before how much I love Sean Crawford, and I can't wait to see him play on this team. Romeo Okwara, Matthias Farley, more names of how do you replace them. But,
no.
Man, I just named, wow, it's a lot of starters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, I mean, there's, I think with Brian Kelly's recruiting and his next man in philosophy, the guy behind the starter knows at any moment I may be called on. And it seems to have been a pretty good method so far as I can tell. Now, we'll see what this season brings, but so far I think it's worked out really well. So, you know, we might have to switch a guy here and there or injury, but I think at depth we're pretty okay.
Yeah, I agree, but like still, we're not 100% sure what the talent is there. You know, we knew how good Drew Tranquil was playing before he got hurt last year. That was nice, but is he going to recover from his second injury? We know that Jerry Tillery is a freak of nature as a freshman. How's it transcribe in the sophomore year when people have film on him? Plus his suspension in the Fiesta Bowl.
True.
We know that Niles Morgan is a guy that we're waiting to see take the next step. Does he do it? We know that Cole Luke is a very good player. A lot of people are really high on, especially being a pro prospect for next year. We haven't seen all of that yet, so what is his senior year leadership going to be like? There's a lot of questions on that side. And plus, as we all know, what I'm going to say here, there's the guy that's running the helm on the defensive side, and he hasn't shown he's able to make things happen red zone defense yet.
Not yet, but he'll get there. I mean, we've still got, what, 4 days or so?
But we had two years of people scoring so many points on us down the stretch, and games not being finished. Oh my God, the Stanford game was the worst defensive coach game, like 30 seconds of a game I've ever seen.
No, and there's, like I said earlier, there's a lot of reason for people to speculate that maybe this defense isn't coached up the right way. If I'm saying that, I'm not trying to be negative, but, you know, that's what I hear, is that, you know, the Brian Van Gorder scheme is too complicated, and, you know, and a lot of people I've heard lately on social media are going, bring back Yako. Well, Bob didn't do that. You know, he did okay, too, but still. I think the defense is going to be okay. It's just a matter of they got to work out the wrinkles, and I just don't know if they're 100, like, defensively, are they 100% fully good right now? I'm not quite convinced of that.
So, if you had to put something on here, we've picked records, we've picked our thoughts, you know, what the questions are. If you had to make a bold prediction on this team, you know, it could be they're going to win this game, they're going to go to the playoff and win a national championship, this player's going to win the Heisman, this player's going to break records, Brian Kelly's going to be coach of the year. Just anything that you feel is just your bold like prediction for this season coming up, what would you say that would be?
I think Notre Dame can make it to the playoffs. I really do. They just have to be very careful and avoid some pitfalls along the way. I mean, Navy normally on the schedule would make us go, oof, but they don't have Kingdom Ralphs anymore. So, you know, I mean, that's going to be a different team. Now, as always, the way they tackle, that can cause problems, because that's a pretty early season game, right? Or is it midseason?
Yeah, it's midseason because they're in Jacksonville.
Yeah. So, you know, that could do something. If Notre Dame just plays good fundamental football, I think they can go 11-1. There's an outside chance. And you know me, dude. I'm a big Notre Dame fan. And I wouldn't say this just to say it. But if they play right, they could go 12-0. But I do think that there could be one or two pitfalls there. Like I said, Miami's scary. That one bothers me a little bit.
My bold prediction for this year, I think that Torrey Hunter Jr. Is it the Blitnikoff? The Blitnikoff's the Wide Receiver of the Year award, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Torrey Hunter Jr. is going to bring the Blitnikoff back to South Bend.
Okay. I like that. Like where your head's at there.
I just think that You know, he's been waiting for his chance to really be the guy. We saw a lot of it last year. I mean, even that Clemson game, he was outstanding. And we've seen glimpses of when he gets a chance to break out the shell and be in the rotation and be the guy, he does something special. And everything you're hearing about him in camp and practices is just he's outstanding. He just jumps off at you. It's his talent, his athleticism, his talent, his route running, his hands. Obviously, he's a minor league baseball outfielder now. So there's a lot of things you're hearing about Torii Hunter. It just seemed like it's just he's going to be special and he's going to make a name for himself.
Yeah, and I've seen that on tape too. I watched quite a bit of film lately. I mean, like lately, as in the past 2-3 days, and that guy can make some grabs that are just fantastic. I mean, he kind of reminds me of a little bit taller Golden Tate.
That's fair.
Makes sense? I mean, but the guy's got great hands. And, with a baseball background, he would tend to have great hands because baseball players need that. So
apparently Deshaun Kaiser's the best baseball player on the football team, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, so what do you think about the Tim Tebow baseball? You want him to play for your team there in Cincy?
I don't care. Like, I hope that he finds something to be successful at. Like, I don't know, because he's so bad at YouTube commentary and television. He's outstanding on TV. I don't know why. I mean, if he wants to be, I understand he wants to be a competitor still, and that's great. And I hope that he's able to be a competitor. But he's really good on TV. So if that doesn't work out, I'm totally fine with him working at ESPN and covering SEC games because he does a really good job of it. But yeah, man, like, I thought the swing looked good in the workout tapes. I thought that obviously we know he has arm strength. He just doesn't have arm accuracy.
Right.
I don't know what his speed's going to be because he looks like a left-handed Jeff Bagwell when he's batting. But I think that, I mean, I hope the best for him. I hope he finds something where it does work out for him. If it is the Cincinnati Reds, sure, why not give it a shot? It'll sell a lot of tickets and T-shirts and jerseys and stuff. It's a nice way to make some money. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere like when Michael Jordan was playing for the Birmingham Barons by any stretch.
Yeah, and I know, and MJ totally kind of embarrassed himself with that whole thing. So, yeah, Tim, just if you're listening, no, you're not. Don't do it.
Why not,
he's gonna wind up. He's going to wind up at independent league, minor league thing, and they're going to have Tim Tebow night.
Why not,
he'll
man?
Come throw a couple pitches, take a couple swings. Yay!
If he can go and have a chance to compete, I say we let him compete. He hasn't done anything wrong by any stretch. Yeah. I mean, he's not an idiot. You know, he's not a jerk. He doesn't, like, you know, do horrible things, obviously. So I don't understand. The hatred of him is a little outstanding to me. Like, I understand that he wasn't an NFL-quality football player, and that's fine.
Right.
He gave it a try. He made some money, and he did right. He won a playoff game, you know, but like, so if he has a chance to compete again, let him compete and have some fun.
So, talking about quarterbacks, what do you think about the whole Colin Kaepernick deal? What's your stance on that? I mean, not that I care at all. I'm just, it's very interesting how this is all playing out.
I don't have an issue with him expressing himself, but I do think he's wrong.
And yeah, I would agree with that. And if I was coaching him up and telling him what to do or counseling him, I'd be like, dude, okay, fine. You don't want to stand. You want to sit down? Then stay in the locker room until it's over, and then come out. Because we're all going to know you're not there.
Yeah,
and
I
just
agree.
Leave it at that. Anyway, I was curious about your thought on that.
Yeah, just, you know, I don't like it, but at the same time, like, I have more important things to be upset about, I guess, than, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to get into politics and political stuff like that. We only have a few minutes.
Oh, no,
here.
No, no.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
God,
we'll skip that. Let's do this. All right.
Yep.
So, let's end the show here with some discussions here on the season overall in the giant landscape that is college football. If you had to say your four teams for the college football playoff, who would you pick?
Oh, man. Notre Dame, Clemson. I think maybe LSU actually has a shot. And there's another SEC team, but I just can't think of. But there's probably another one. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to make it.
Okay. Ours is a little different. So I do have Notre Dame just because I think that they're talented enough, and I think that they're going to win enough games to make things happen and make some noise. I love Clemson because I think Deshaun Watson is a very special player. Yep. I think that he, you know, we saw that a lot. I would love to get that Clemson game, man. Just play them again. That'd just be awesome.
Oh.
Because that game, that game was heartbreaking, but that game was fun. And, you know, you know, so that was great. I think that this is the year, and I hate to say it, and God, I hope people don't hate me for this, but they probably will. I think this is the year Michigan takes that step over Ohio State just because Ohio State's going to have great players.
I hate you right now for saying that.
I do. I hate myself. But if I'm, like, predicting college football, I think Harbaugh does make things happen there. And we're going to see this for a while. So we got to get used to it. And then the last spot I think will be I've been going back and forth with Alabama and LSU just because they're ridiculous. If I had to pick one today, I'd say Alabama. I think that they're going to defend the title. I think that they're going to end up playing for the championship again. We might get a rematch.
That could be.
Yeah, we might get the national championship rematch there. So that's where I'm kind of at. All right, Heisman Trophy prediction. Who you got?
Oof. Oh, man. McCaffrey?
Easy, but probably.
If he puts out the kind of season, he got robbed last year, in my opinion.
I agree.
So if he puts out the season he put out last year and maybe a little better, he's a lock. He's got to be.
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson will win it. I just think that he's just too good, man. Has a lot on the table. He can just make things happen there. So I think that that's kind of where I'm at there. So how many coaches are fired by week 6?
Oh, man, I didn't expect that question. I don't think any. I don't think that any high-profile programs are going to make a change like that midseason. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. I think someone's going to do it. I mean, there's, 180 programs? Someone's going to make the move.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be a minor program. It's not going to be that. I mean, do you think, are you saying, like, an earth-shattering type fire and hire?
Let's see. I think Charlie Strong at least gets to finish the year, and if he wins, like, 7 or 8 games, he stays at Texas. I really think he could win 7 or 8 games, honestly. He's getting a lot of talent
there. Oh, I
do, too. Yeah, I hope he does. I love Charlie Strong, man. I'd like to see Bob Petrino get fired, mainly because he's a scumbag.
It just went, he's like, okay, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone. No, wait, you're cool, you can stay. You're gone, and you're gone.
Did you just make a half-baked reference?
Players. What's that?
Did you just make a half-baked reference?
Of course I did.
I like it. I respect it. Yeah, man. So, that's, I don't know. It's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be like a huge school like that. I don't know. Maybe Louisville will come to their senses and just take their name away from Bobby Petrino as they should have the first time that he left, but I doubt it. He's such a scumbag.
Yeah, probably not. If it's like something earth shattering, what if Jim Harbaugh got fired in like the 6th week?
I highly doubt that that'll. I would put that as a 0.00000001% chance of happening.
You might want to put a dollar on that in Vegas and just see what happens. Because if you hit it, that's a lot of money.
That is, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, no, I mean, there could be some pretty decent shakeups, but I don't think it's going to be at the elite level of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think with that being said, we can go and close out this week's this edition of Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. Hopefully next week we are at full. We'll be recapping a victory over Texas, getting ready for the home opener against Nevada. I will have a Know Your Enemy segment next week. I do already have a Nevada writer booked for that. So cannot wait to bring that to you guys next week. Everyone have a safe, enjoyable Labor Day weekend. Look forward to Sunday night football for Notre Dame and Texas. Cannot wait to watch and discuss with you all. Everyone have a good night and go Irish.
Go Irish.